Bibles right now. Open them up, book of 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. Go to verse number 3. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Our Father, I pray that you would bless us as we study today. Guide and direct our thoughts, guide and direct all that is said and done, and I pray we might learn from your word. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Remember, Paul is writing his son in the faith, Timothy, who was the pastor of the church at Ephesus, to tell him how to behave himself in the church. And in so doing, he is telling every other church member in turn that they need to behave themselves in like manner. In this passage of Scripture, the focus shifts from helping people who are in sin or helping people who are doing wrong to helping people who are in financial need and the obligations of both parties in the matter. Paul specifically addresses widows in this passage because they were the most needy of the needy people. If you said the word widow, it meant destitute automatically. So he addresses them, understanding they need help. Look at how Paul put it in the book of James, chapter number 1. So hold your finger here in Timothy. Go to James, chapter number 1. James, chapter number 1. Bless you. James, chapter number 1. Verse number 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his own tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. James put it this way, the true religious person, the person truly following Jesus Christ, wants to take care of orphans and widows. Again, both ends of the spectrum, but the key word is destitute and in need. He said, you're to love and care for the most needy among you. The ones who are destitute of any care at all, they're destitute of any earthly support at all. And he says, you need to help them, but here's how you do it. So while the focus here is widows, the thrust is the obligation of the church to the needy and the obligation of the needy to the Savior. You understand? He says it works both ways here. What is the church obligated in this respect? And what are those who get help from the church obligated to do? So number one, those to whom the church is obligated. Those to whom the church is obligated. Look at chapter 5, verse number 3 again. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them first Let them learn first to show piety at home and requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. The Greek word here, honor, means to fix the value. Just like in our word honorarium, an honorarium is a price paid to a speaker for services. And the word honorarium speaks of the dual obligation of the giver and the receiver. So he says, honor them that are widows indeed. Widows indeed. Let's face it, if you don't know this, it's true. Let's face it, the church has always been preyed upon by racketeers who want something from soft-hearted Christians who will give them a handout in Jesus' name. Oh, it happens. We get phone calls every single week about people needing help, wanting help, and all that kind of stuff. And we've helped people for years, but it's been amazing. There are a whole lot of people that want help, but they don't want to be helped. Does that make sense? They want money. They want food, and they want it now. They don't hear the gospel. They want to hear how we can help them trust Jesus Christ as Savior, and then Jesus Christ as their Savior will help them the rest of their lives. They don't hear any of that. We've been to places over the years bringing food, and as we went, we won't give people money. We just won't do that because we don't know what they're going to spend it on. We've gone in houses, we've brought groceries over, and we've been 15 minutes later than we expected. Traffic, lines at the grocery store, whatever, and they get mad at us. You were supposed to be here 15 minutes ago. I don't understand that. I don't get that. And as you do that, you see that they've got the biggest television set you've ever seen in your life. There's all kinds of things that they have in the house that they could buy for themselves that we would never buy them, and yet they're upset. What is the church's obligation to this? What is the church's obligation when people call, when people want money from the church, and the church generally is a magnet for people, because they know that you have to do something nice for me because you're a Christian. Wow. Again, Paul lays it out here. Okay? His focus is on widows, but he lays it out here how the church, to whom the church is obligated to help, and then those to whom the church is not obligated to help. He uses the word widows indeed. The local church is an easy target for charlatans. It always has been. The only difference nowadays is that many of the charlatans stand in the pulpit. Should I mention Joel Osteen one more time? And they're taking from God's people. It's not to work that way. Paul said, honor widows that are widows indeed. He says it in verse number 3. He says it in verse number 5. He says it again in verse number 16. He uses that phrase, widows indeed. He gives a list of qualifications. He gives a criteria for their name being put on a list. Look at verse number 9. He says, let not a widow be taken into the number. Okay? Being taken into the number is literally, don't let them be put on the roll. Don't let them be put on the list if certain criteria are not met in this. So he tells us who the church is obligated to. Who the church is obligated to. Those in its memberships that are truly destitute. Those in its membership who are truly destitute. Look at verse number 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, the word nephew there literally is grandchildren. So if they've got children or grandchildren, let them, the children and grandchildren, learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. These people the church is obligated to help are people who have no one else to help them. No one else to help them. If there's children, if there's grandchildren, it is the children and the grandchildren's responsibility to requite, literally means repay their parents, repay their grandparents, and take care of them. They bear this first responsibility. He sums it all up in verse number 16 by saying it again, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. He said the family has the first responsibility. Verse number 8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. In this, if you've got family members and they have need and you're not helping them with that need, you have denied the faith and worse than an infidel. Well, those are pretty strong words. What do they mean? Well, denied the faith carries the idea of your creed, what you believe, and your conduct, how you behave, should go together. Amen? Your belief and your behavior should go together. Look how John puts it in 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse number 16. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. He said, let the children take care of them, and then if there's no one to take care of them, then the church does. Then the church should go ahead and do this. And anybody who doesn't take care of his own is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. He's talking about worse than being unsaved. Do you know why? Well, this is something that even the unsaved understands. Amen? Take care of your own. And that's what he says here. So who's the church obligated to? Those who are truly destitute. Secondly, those that are godly. Those that are godly. Look what he says in verse number 5. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. In other words, the church is obligated to those who are destitute, who are saved and serving. They're saved and serving. They're trusting confidently in the God who answers prayer for themselves and for others. These people are not only involved in praying for their own needs, they're involved in praying for the other people's needs as well. Supplications and prayers. They're praying for others. They're saved and they're serving. So they've got to be truly destitute, destitute, saved and serving. They must be 60 years old. So he says in verse number 9, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Wow. He goes ahead and says that they got to be at least 60 years old in this as well. Why? Well, they won't be able to help themselves. They shouldn't be, under that age. The church is not responsible for that, not obligated to that. He goes on, says they must have a good testimony. Verse number 10, well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. They've got a good testimony because they're always doing what is, as the children sang, right. Always doing what's right. The church, the local church, I don't mean this some kind of universal entity, the local church has an obligation to help these people when they are in need. Does that make sense? I put my ear here, you say amen. Does that make sense? Amen, it does. Secondly, those to whom the church is not obligated. Those to whom the church is not obligated. Now, obligated is the key word here. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. Those to whom the church is not obligated would be those who don't apply to what we just already said. If they don't fit that criteria, the church is under no obligation to them. Wow. Again, I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm not giving you my thoughts. I'm telling you what Paul told Timothy and how the church is to behave itself, how we are to behave in the church. Okay? In other words, if they've got family to take care of them, the church is not obligated. If they are not saved and serving, the church is not obligated. If they are younger and can remarry, Paul says they should go ahead and remarry. If they don't have a good testimony, the church is not obligated. Wow. That sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? Shake your heads because you're really looking at me strange. The church is under no obligation to help people who don't fit into this category. The church bears an obligation. The family always bears first obligation. Now, let me stop for a second. Obligation and reaching out to somebody are two different things. Do you hear me? Reaching out to two different things. There is nothing wrong with helping somebody. There's nothing wrong with, how do I keep putting it in Sunday school? And I think this is the way we all think about it. Setting self aside and loving someone closer to Christ. Amen? Now, that's not an obligation the church has. That's an attitude that the members of the church should have. Amen. You see, the church can't do collectively what the members won't do individually. Everybody hear that? Because you don't know how many times that I hear, Pastor, the church should do this. You know what that means, don't you? Pastor, you should do this. Mrs. DeMoss, the church should do this. You know what that means, don't you? Mrs. DeMoss, you should do this. No. The church cannot do collectively what the individual members won't do on their own. Now, while the church bears no obligation, there's nothing wrong with helping people. But who should help people? You should help people. I should help people. Individual Christians should help people. How? By setting self aside and loving people closer to Christ. Amen? I'll say it. Amen, preacher. Good preaching. How many of us have an easy time setting self aside? That would be none. Because who's most important? Everybody raise your hand. Who's the most important person in the world? Everybody raise your hand or you're lying. Okay, it's me. We get that, right? Everybody's most important person in the world is me. We want to make sure we are taken care of. We want to make sure that we are comfortable. We want to make sure that we have everything that we need. We want to make sure that we, okay, that me, even we doesn't work. Me, 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 me. When God says throughout the Bible, you should care for people around you. The Bible clearly tells us we need to love one another by esteeming the other better than themselves. But again, who are we most important? Who do we care about the most? Everybody say it. Me. Me. And we need to learn to put me aside and love someone closer to Christ. Amen? Remember, we read it in 1 John. If any man see his brother have a need, and you've got the ability to meet that need and don't meet it, wow. John actually asked, what kind of Christian are you? Let's not love in word. Let's love in truth and in deed. You know, he gives the idea of, you see, your brother is cold. Be warm, brother. What good did that do him? You see him hungry. Well, you know, eat well. What good does that do him? He said, no. Our brother in Christ's need ought to affect who we are and what we do. Remember the finger of the ear? Amen? Amen. Now that takes effort. That takes time. That takes away from me. From me. And I'm actually putting me aside and loving someone closer to Christ. Wow. And I said this probably a couple of weeks ago. At no time do we say, yeah, that's what they need to do for me. There's no room for that. It's our setting ourselves aside and loving people closer to Christ. Who are we to do that for? Well, we are to do that, number one, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what John meant in 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. If any man see his brother have need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion. He just shuts his heart and says, I don't care. It's not me. After all, I got to take care of me and mine. After all, I got to take care of my family. After all. No. We need to care. We need to love. Because we are parts of the body of Christ, a family in Christ, dependent upon each other for everything. That's how the early church was. And that's how we need to be as individual Christians, not the church. Because the church always puts it off on somebody else when I am the one who needs to do it. If I've got a brother or sister in Christ who is in need and I've got the wherewithal to help meet that need, I need to do so. Amen? No matter what it is, whether it's groceries or helping them move or doing something nice for them, encouraging them, being there for them, caring one for another. A church like that is what we're supposed to be. Amen. But does it mean, yeah, preacher, they need to do that? No. I need to do it. You need to do it. As church members, as members of the body of Christ, as believers, as Christians. Oh, the church has obligations, and the people who are helped have obligations to the church. But we need to set ourselves aside sometimes and just love someone closer to Christ. And that love is to esteem them better and giving of ourselves for them. Wow. How about the lost? How about the unsaved? Do you think there's time we could set ourselves aside and love them closer to Christ that we might get the opportunity to witness and give them the gospel? Amen. See, that's the purpose. If that's not the purpose of helping, of aiding, encouraging, if that's not the purpose, then you're doing it for nothing. We don't help people simply to help them. We help them to love them closer to Christ. Amen. And while they may not get saved on our first encounter, we've planted a seed, we've moved them closer to Christ, and that's the goal, because that should have been the goal from the beginning. Amen. To set ourselves aside and move them closer to Christ. In the Sunday school hour, I use this illustration. Some of you are too young to remember it. An act, it was a vaudeville act, it was a circus act, it was an act of a plate spinner. You know what a plate spinner was? Some of you had a bunch of plates. They had maybe 10 sticks sticking out of the ground or out of some kind of a mechanism. They had to hold the sticks up, and there'd be 10 of them there, and they'd take a china plate, and they'd put it on top of the stick, and they would spin it. You know, like someone spins a basketball on their finger. Here they're spinning plates on 10 sticks. And they get all these 10 plates going, and then they got to go back to number one and keep that going back and back and back, and continually running back and forth, trying to keep all those plates spinning. That is our life. Let's be honest. 2022, that's how we live. We got a lot of plates spinning. There is a lot to do. There is a lot going on between work and home and recreation and this and the kids and running here and running there. We got a whole lot going on. There's a lot of plates we got to keep spinning everywhere. But every now and then we need to stop and say, that one's worthless. Get rid of it. That one's a waste of time. And get rid of, oh yeah, I'm busy. Oh yeah, I'm doing something. Oh yeah, many of these things need to get done. Some of these things are a complete waste of time. I need to jettison it. Get it out of my life. That I might put something in there worthwhile. Wow. And maybe that's an opportunity to witness, an opportunity to encourage a brother in Christ, an opportunity to do something for somebody else, that I might put myself aside and love them closer to Christ. Wow. In Sunday school, I said there were four things you need to do every single day to make sure it happens. And it won't happen unless you do this. You need to pray, you need to plan, you need to plant, and you need to pray. Okay, very simply put, you need to get up every morning and pray, God, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing me to be around one more day. Lord, give me an opportunity to serve you today. Bring someone my way that I can love closer to you, whether they're saved, whether they're lost, or both. Lord, bring someone in my path today that I can love closer to you today. And then your second prayer is, Lord, when they come, open my eyes that I might see who they are and what to do. Because we do a lot of that plate spinning and we'll miss them. We'll miss them. We need to go ahead and pray, Lord, bring them my way and help me to see them when they're here. Then we need a plan. You need a plan on having your schedule broken every now and then. You know, maybe one of those plates are going to fall. Because you weren't able to get the kids to Tiddlywinks this week. What are we going to do? Because God had something else for you to do. Open your eyes. God, help me. Help someone. Help me. Put me aside and love someone closer to you. Wow. Got a plan on that happening. Then you're going to plan on knowing what to say. I said it during Sunday school hour. You need to know how to win someone to Christ, how to tell someone the gospel, how to give them the gospel that they might get saved. You need to know how to do that. If you don't know how to do that, ask. Well, we've had classes. We've had all kinds of messages on that. You need to know how to win someone to Christ. If you don't, two things. Number one, I said ask. Number two, shame on you. That's terrible, but it's true. Now, talking to someone about Christ and giving a lost person the gospel isn't a presentation. It's a conversation. And you need to learn how to have that conversation with somebody that you might be able to show them how to trust Christ as their Savior. And that takes planning. And that takes effort. And that takes time. And you may lose a plate. But God wants you to do that. Plant. Plant. I said it before, not everyone you speak to is going to get saved the first time you encounter them, the first time you interact with them. They won't. Not everything is going to happen as greatly as you want it to happen the first time you talk to a Christian or encourage them or seek to disciple them, seek to help them grow in Christ. It's not going to all happen overnight. It takes time. Did you plant a garden this year? Maybe you planted with seeds. Maybe you started with small plants. But if you did, you started way back in March or April or May. And right about now, the fruit is starting to ripen. That took some time and some work and some effort in order to get to the place where you would reap. That's how we need to look at the Christian life. I'm setting myself aside. I'm loving someone closer to Christ. And every time I do that, I'm planting a seed. I'm watering that seed. I'm cultivating that seed. I'm giving my time for eternity to bring them to Christ. Then you need to pray. Then you need to pray. You go to bed at night. You say, Lord, thank you for the opportunities you gave me today. Lord, I didn't feel I did a good job with them, but Lord, do it again tomorrow. I'll try to do better. Open my eyes. But Lord, be with so-and-so. I had a chance to give them a little bit of the gospel today. Holy Spirit, take that and use that in their life. Lord, be with a so-and-so. They were discouraged in their Christian life, or they're discouraged about this in their life. And I got to talk to them a little bit today. I got to encourage them a little bit today. Lord, help them. Encourage them. Open their eyes that they might see you. Thank you, Lord, for the small way that you used me today. Do it again tomorrow. And tomorrow's a new day, and we wake up and start all over again. You know what that's called? Purpose. Purpose. You are not here on planet Earth to keep 10 plates spinning of useless, busy things. We're here to live for eternity. Amen. Oh, yeah, there's things we've got to do. We got to go to work. We got to take care of the family. We got to do the laundry. We got to mow the lawn. There are things we need to do. We get all that. But there better be time for eternity, time for serving Christ, time to set me aside and love someone closer to Christ, whether they're saved or whether they're unsaved. That's what we need to do. Question is, can we do it? Oh, that answer is easy. It's yes. The answer is, the next question is, will you do it? Will we do it? Remember, we should be thrown out the window. Me. Because we can put it off to somebody else. It's me. Will I do it? Will you do it? Church has an obligation to some. Church doesn't have an obligation to others. But we all should be living for eternity. We all should be willing to set me aside in order to love someone closer to Christ today. Our Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for bringing it home to our hearts. I pray that you'd open our eyes to the needs around us. Lord, people are lost. They need Christ, and we need to do something about it. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts to do something about it every day. Lord, we've got brothers and sisters in Christ who have needs, who need encouragement, who need help, who need different things. Help us, Lord, to have our eyes open to those things. And I pray that we would consistently wake up and pray, asking you for the opportunity to do something good, do something right, do something that will love someone closer to you today. Guide and direct in our decisions. I pray that you bring every one of us to a place of decision this morning. Guide and direct us. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. What does God want you to do? First of all, let me ask the question. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know for certain that you're going to heaven? Do you know for certain that your sins are forgiven? Do you know you're saved? Do you know Christ? You say, Pastor, I am. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Put your hand up as a testimony of that fact. You're saved, you know, put your hand up. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. That's great. Amen. 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 Christian, are we busy being busy? Or do we take time out to make sure we're having an impact? We're living on purpose because we're living for eternity. You say, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken to me. I want to make sure I'm not just busy being busy, but I'm busy doing right, busy serving God, busy making an impact on eternity because I put me aside and I'm loving people to Christ as much as I can. Pastor, pray for me that I would do that. God spoke to me. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Slip your hand up, put it back down. Amen, amen. God bless you. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. You don't know you're going to heaven. You don't know your sins are forgiven. You don't know Christ. I've got good news and bad news. Bad news is if you go into eternity without Christ, hell awaits. And it's as bad as anyone's ever said it was. It's horrible. But the good news is Jesus Christ came and died to pay your sin penalty in full and to take you to heaven. All you got to do is repent of your sin and trust him as Savior. Sounds simple. Oh, it is. But there's that little thing called pride that keeps so many from doing it. You say, Pastor, I don't know I'm going to heaven. I don't know that my sins are forgiven. I don't know Christ. Anyone like that? Put your hand up, put it back down. We love you here. We want to pray for you. Pastor, pray for me. Just slip your hand up, put it back down. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Our Father, I pray that you'd work in all of our hearts right now. Lord, thank you for the many with us this morning who are saved. Help us, Lord, to determine we're going to make an impact. We're going to do something today, every day, that we might affect eternity for our Savior's sake and for others' sake. Lord, I pray that you'd be with anybody in our midst who is unsaved. Show them their need and how you've met it already. You set yourself aside and died in our place that we might be saved. Thank you, Lord, that you were a risen, living Savior to prove it's all true. Guide, direct, and bless. And this invitation, right now as we make decisions, draw us to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Grab a hymn book right in front of you. Turn to page 435. 435. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. We're going to invite you to respond to God speaking to your heart. What does he want you to do? What decision does he want you to make? As we stand and sing on this first verse, talk to him. Talk to God. If you need to speak to me, I'll be waiting for you right down front. If you need to be saved, I'll be waiting for you right down front. Whatever you need right now, talk to God. Make the decision he's laid upon your heart as we sing the first verse.